Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Better Boundaries Workbook, a CBT-based program to help you set limits, express your needs, and create healthy relationships. By Sharon Martin, MSW, LCSW. Narrated by Anna Caputo. Publisher's note: this audiobook will refer to visual elements included in the print and ebook editions of the book. Publisher's note: this publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Introduction. Welcome to the Better Boundaries Workbook. I'm excited to share this book with you because I know from personal and professional experience that healthy boundaries can transform your life. If you struggle to stand up for yourself, ask for what you need, or feel guilty or afraid when you do, learning to set boundaries can increase your self-esteem and confidence and help you create respectful, satisfying relationships. Of course, this doesn't happen all at once. As you know, setting boundaries is tough. However, I'm confident that with the concepts in this book and committed practice, you can learn to set effective boundaries. About this workbook. Through my work as a psychotherapist, it became clear that so many of my clients' struggles were related to their difficulty setting boundaries, and there was a need for an evidence-based guide to teach these skills. And so I wrote this workbook to share the practical skills and strategies for setting boundaries that I've successfully used with my clients. In part one of this workbook, you'll learn what boundaries are, why we need them, and why they're hard to set. Part two focuses on how to create and communicate boundaries, and how to handle boundary violations. In part three, you'll learn boundary skills with others, including at work, with your partner, children, extended family, and friends, and with difficult people. And in part four, you'll practice boundary skills with yourself, including respecting other people's boundaries and creating healthy limits and habits for yourself. This workbook uses cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, an evidence-based approach to understanding the connection between our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. The CBT exercises in this book will help you identify inaccurate thoughts and beliefs that are making it difficult for you to set boundaries and replacing them with thoughts that are more accurate and helpful. In addition to CBT, I use mindfulness and self-compassion concepts. By tuning into the present, mindfulness can help you regulate your emotions, especially when you're overwhelmed or upset. And self-compassion fosters self-acceptance, resiliency, and motivation. How to use this workbook. The concepts and exercises in this book build upon each other, so I recommend listening from start to finish. Some chapters may not seem relevant to you, but I encourage you to still listen to them, as you'll probably find useful tips for setting boundaries in every chapter. Learning new skills takes a lot of practice. One of the biggest problems people have when trying to change is they give up too soon, before they've practiced new thoughts, feelings, and behaviors enough for them to feel comfortable and be effective. For this reason, I've provided a variety of tools and ways to access them. Written exercises. This workbook is full of exercises and reflective questions designed to help you practice and integrate the concepts you're learning. Some can be done as you're listening. Others will require more thought or ask you to complete them over a week or so. Try your best to do them all. Online materials. To make it easier for you to repeat the exercises in this book, some are available electronically at newharbinger.com/47582. Please print additional copies and repeat them as often as it's helpful. Journal. You may also find it helpful to use a journal or notebook to capture your thoughts, feelings, struggles, and successes. This will reinforce what you're learning and help you overcome barriers and track your progress. Therapy. Some difficult feelings may come up as you complete this workbook, and a therapist can help you process them and troubleshoot more complex boundary issues. If you experience increased symptoms of depression, anxiety, or suicidal thoughts, please consult a mental health or medical professional immediately. If you are a therapist using this workbook with clients, I have written a guide for you that is available at newharbinger.com/47582. Final thoughts. Setting boundaries is both challenging and rewarding. This workbook can help you overcome the challenges and reap the rewards of better boundaries. Part 1. Introduction to Boundaries. Chapter 1. What are boundaries, and why do we need them? Boundaries are essential to our health, happiness, and success. However, setting boundaries is a challenge for many of us. We're not used to standing up for ourselves and asking for what we need. We're afraid to say no because we don't want to disappoint or offend people. And we lose track of who we are and what's important to us because we're so focused on what other people want or need. Consequently, we end up frustrated, exhausted, underappreciated, and mistreated. But we can learn to set boundaries with kindness, assertively ask for what we need, and create more satisfying and respectful relationships. To get started, we'll look at the functions of boundaries, how a lack of boundaries negatively affects us, and the benefits of learning how to set healthy boundaries. What are boundaries? A boundary is a dividing line that defines who you are as an individual and how you'll interact with others. Boundaries define what's me, my body, my feelings, my property, my responsibilities, and so forth, and what's not me. Boundaries also communicate how we want to be treated by others, what's okay and not okay with us, and how close we want to get, physically and emotionally, to others. Boundaries take a variety of forms. For example, physical boundaries protect your space, body, and property. Sexual boundaries protect your right to consent, to ask for what you want sexually, and to receive honesty about your partner's sexual history. Emotional boundaries allow you to have your own thoughts and feelings and protect you from emotional harm such as invalidation or betrayal. Time boundaries help you manage your time so you don't commit to things you don't want to do or end up overworked. Boundaries differentiate you from me. One of the primary functions of a boundary is to differentiate one thing from another, or in this case, one person from another. Boundaries make it clear that you're a unique, autonomous person, not simply an extension of someone else, such as your parents or spouse. This differentiation is important because it defines your identity and clarifies what you are and are not responsible for. When you set boundaries, you assert your individuality. We all have our own thoughts, feelings, values, goals, and interests, but sometimes others are threatened or confused by our differences and want us to think, feel, and act as they do. And we, too, may be afraid of being different, assuming it will lead to criticism or rejection. So we hide our true selves, allowing others to tell us who we are. Psychologists use the term enmeshment to describe this type of undifferentiation. In enmeshed relationships, there aren't boundaries. Everyone is expected to toe the line, meaning everyone should think, feel, and behave the same. In an enmeshed or boundaryless relationship, you live your life based on what other people want you to do or what they think is right, instead of deciding for yourself. Boundaries create a healthy separation between you and others and define who you are so you can be yourself and make choices that are right for you. Boundaries define who you are. A lack of boundaries can leave you unsure of who you are, what you need, what you like to do, what matters to you, and what you believe in. Without boundaries, you lose your true self because there's no separation between you and someone else. Kristen is a perfect example of how we can lose ourselves when we don't have boundaries. Life was going great for Kristen. She was thrilled with her new job teaching art and spent Saturday mornings training for half marathons with a close group of friends. And on Sunday nights, she volunteered for a teen crisis line, a cause close to her heart following her sister's struggle with depression. However, this all changed when she started dating Nick. Nick was moody and angry, and as their relationship progressed, Kristen's mood suffered too. She spent more and more time trying to make him feel better, helping him find a more fulfilling job, and encouraging him to see a therapist. She gave up volunteering for the crisis line so she could be with Nick, but he usually spent the time tinkering in the garage alone. She also cut back on running with her friends because Nick thought they were snobby. Instead, they socialized with his friends. Kristen found them immature, but not wanting to anger Nick, she didn't say anything. Kristen went from a happy, confident woman with a sense of purpose, close friends, and knowing what was important, to feeling lonely and discouraged. She gave up her hobbies and friends. She absorbed Nick's moods and problems, and they became her own. She didn't know how to hold a boundary between herself and Nick, so she got swallowed up by Nick's feelings, needs, and interests. It's easy to see the difference in Kristen before and after Nick, but when this happens in childhood, it's harder to spot because you may not have ever developed a strong sense of identity and purpose. Boundaries define what you're responsible for. In Kristen's story, you saw how she took responsibility for Nick's problems and tried to solve them for him. On one hand, this is a caring thing to do. But ultimately, they aren't problems she can solve. She can provide support and guidance, but she can't get him a more fulfilling job or make him go to therapy. Those things are in Nick's control and are, therefore, his responsibility. Let's look at one more example that highlights how boundaries define what we're responsible for. Freddie discovered that his wife, Maria, had been texting a male colleague late at night, sharing personal stories and pictures of herself. Freddie thought it was inappropriate and felt hurt and angry. He confronted Maria, and her response was, "Why are you making such a big deal about this? You're never home anyway. Maybe if I wasn't so lonely, I wouldn't be texting James." Maria didn't take responsibility for her actions, texting James, or her feelings, loneliness. Instead, she blamed Freddie and tried to make him responsible for her behavior and feelings. Freddie probably contributed to their marital problems, but he was not responsible for Maria's behavior or feelings, neither of which he can control. Since boundaries help define us as individuals, they also make clear that we're responsible for our own thoughts, feelings, actions, words, and bodies. But we're not responsible for things we can't control, namely how other people feel and what they do. And as you saw with Freddie and Maria, unclear boundaries can lead to blaming and expecting someone else to solve your problems. When there are healthy, appropriate boundaries, everyone takes responsibility for their own feelings and actions. Boundaries are limits. The second primary function of boundaries is to set limits. Boundaries communicate how you want to be treated, what you need, and what you expect. Limits are necessary because they protect you from being hurt by others. You also need limits for yourself. Boundaries guide your decisions and behavior and stop you from doing things that aren't in your own best interest, like drinking too much or overspending. Setting limits for yourself also ensures that you focus on what's most important to you and that you spend your time, energy, and money according to your goals and values. Boundaries provide physical and emotional safety. Safety is one of our most basic needs. We need to be physically safe from harm and feel emotionally safe to form trusting relationships, feel good about ourselves, solve complex problems, and so on. In the 1940s, psychologist Abraham Maslow created a hierarchy of needs that remains a helpful way to conceptualize that humans must first meet their basic needs before they can devote time and energy to more complex and abstract needs, such as feeling appreciated or doing meaningful work. Maslow placed safety at the bottom of the hierarchy of needs, second only to our physiological needs: food, water, shelter, sleep. Physical safety. Refusing to get into a car with a driver who's been drinking, or asking someone aggressive to leave our home, are examples of boundaries that we set to protect our physical safety. A restraining order is another example of a boundary that is set, in this case by a judge, to keep someone safe from physical harm. These types of boundaries define how others can treat us and what we'll do to keep ourselves safe. If we don't set boundaries, we run the risk of being hurt. Emotional safety. Often, the danger we face isn't physical, but emotional. And while emotional pain isn't life-threatening, it's just as real and hurts just as much as physical pain. Our emotional safety is threatened when we're bullied, belittled or called derogatory names, frequently criticized, lied to, blamed for things we didn't do, shamed or told we're inadequate, yelled at, betrayed or cheated on, with someone unpredictable or prone to angry outbursts. Even an isolated occurrence by a stranger can be painful, but it's even more painful when these types of behaviors are perpetrated regularly by a loved one. Boundaries are a way to protect ourselves from threats to our emotional safety because they communicate how we expect to be treated and what we'll accept from others. For example, you can set a boundary to maintain emotional safety by hanging up the phone when your sister starts cursing at you. Or you can ask your father to stop making sarcastic comments about your appearance. Boundaries ensure you focus on what's most important. In addition to protecting our physical and emotional safety, boundaries protect us from overworking, overcommitting, overgiving, being taken advantage of, and doing things that don't align with our values and priorities. If we had unlimited amounts of time, energy, and money, we could say yes to everything. But since we have limited resources, we need to be thoughtful about how we spend our time, energy, and money. Boundaries serve as limits that ensure we're using our resources on the things that matter most to us. For example, if I say yes to every project I'm asked to do, I'll be overworked, and I won't have enough time and energy for my family. And since I value quality family time, I need to protect it with a boundary on how many hours I work. As you can see, saying yes to one thing means you'll have to say no to something else. Conversely, when you say no or set a boundary, it frees up resources for the things you value most. So far, we've talked about boundaries as dividing lines that differentiate one person from another and clarify what we're each responsible for. Boundaries act as limits that protect us from physical and emotional harm and from spending our time, energy, and money on things we don't value. How do you define boundaries? Try writing your own definition. What happens when we don't have boundaries? Sometimes, the easiest way to understand why boundaries are so important is to think about what happens when we don't have boundaries. Let's look at how Alex and Joaquin are affected by their lack of boundaries. Alex had just put her two young daughters down for their afternoon nap when the doorbell rang. She immediately felt annoyed because her friends and family all know that her girls nap at this time, and she'd even taped a note on the front door that said, "Do not disturb. Children napping." Alex's mother stood on her doorstep, her arms overflowing with balloons and bags. "Well, aren't you going to invite me in?" she snapped. "Mom, it's not a good time," Alex said as the baby started crying. Now both girls were up, and Alex's plan to catch up on housework and return some emails was quickly evaporating. "I brought you Valentine's Day treats," her mother said excitedly, emptying packages of candy onto the living room floor. "Thanks, Mom," Alex replied. But she was really thinking, "She knows we don't let the girls eat candy. She's always undermining me." 2 hours later, Alex's mother was finally gone, leaving a mess of candy wrappers and craft projects to overtired and cranky grandchildren, and Alex on the verge of tears. Alex wasn't just angry at her mother for disrupting her afternoon or ignoring her wishes. She was also angry at herself for allowing it. She was angry that at 35 years old, she still didn't know how to say no to her mother. Joaquin looked at his schedule and immediately felt overwhelmed. He had counseling sessions with students booked every 30 minutes, a life skills class to teach during lunch, a staff meeting after school, and then his own family to tend to. He momentarily hoped some of his students would be out sick so he could get a break, but immediately felt guilty for being selfish. Joaquin was eager to help. That's why he'd become a school social worker. When there were budget cuts, he agreed to counsel additional students. When the school identified youth vaping as a concern, he volunteered to hold informational seminars for parents in the evenings. He routinely brought home hours of paperwork and was emotionally drained by the struggles the student shared with him. Joaquin became increasingly sleep-deprived. He gave up swimming because he didn't have enough energy. And his relationship suffered because he barely saw his wife and kids. Joaquin wasn't selfish, quite the opposite. He gave and gave at work and had nothing left for himself or his family. While Alex struggled with boundaries in her personal life, Joaquin didn't set boundaries at work, and both paid a steep price. They were exhausted and felt resentful and taken advantage of. Their relationship suffered. They felt guilty and didn't get their needs met. Joaquin was particularly drained because he didn't have a boundary between his emotions and those of his students. He absorbed their feelings and let them become a part of him. Boundaries are a two-way street. When it comes to boundary-related problems, we usually think about how we're hurt when we don't set boundaries or when others don't respect our boundaries. But it's important to remember that boundaries are a two-way street. Many of us need to work on respecting other people's boundaries, not just asserting our own boundaries. When we don't respect other people's boundaries, we can cause them harm. You may not cause physical harm, but you could make someone uncomfortable by intruding on their personal space or privacy. Or you might harm someone by not returning a borrowed item, not following through on a commitment, or oversharing too much personal information, given how well you know someone. Now, let's turn our attention to why you want to learn how to set boundaries. Use this checklist to identify how your life is negatively affected by a lack of consistent boundaries. You're afraid to say no and don't want to disappoint people. You don't speak up when you want something or when you're being mistreated. You frequently feel angry, resentful, or overwhelmed. You don't communicate your expectations to others. You feel physically or emotionally unsafe. You don't make time for self-care. You feel guilty when you set limits or do things for yourself. You make commitments that you later regret. You're frequently overscheduled, rushed, or tired. You do things out of obligation rather than because you want to. You don't spend enough quality time with people you care about. You don't have a strong sense of who you are and your values, interests, and goals. You're tuned into how other people feel, but don't always know how you feel. You accept blame for things you didn't do or couldn't control. You enable others to be irresponsible by doing things for them that they can do for themselves. You feel obligated to answer personal questions. You loan money or possessions to people who don't return them. People take advantage of you. Your children don't respect limits and walk all over you. Your children act entitled or spoiled. You feel burnt out at work. You spend a lot of time, energy, or money trying to fix or solve other people's problems. You act passive-aggressively instead of directly expressing your feelings and needs. You think you don't matter or aren't as important as others. You overshare personal information or get close to people before trust is established. You blame others for things you're responsible for. You harm others by not respecting their privacy, possessions, feelings, or bodies. You struggle with self-discipline, managing your money, time, eating, social media use, etc. In what other ways has not having boundaries negatively affected you? Be as specific as possible. It's important to be aware of the ways that not having boundaries has impacted you, but looking at a list of problems can certainly be discouraging or overwhelming, so we're not going to stay focused on the negatives. This book is going to teach you the skills you need to set boundaries and overcome these problems. The benefits of boundaries. Now that you've got a clear picture of the problems that result from poor boundaries, let's look at how boundaries can improve your life, specifically your relationships, health, and self-esteem. Boundaries improve relationships. People often avoid setting boundaries because they're afraid that boundaries will damage their relationships by creating distance or conflict. Indeed, setting boundaries may initially be met with some resistance. However, most people will adjust to your boundaries and your relationships will be strengthened by clearer communication, fewer misunderstandings and conflicts, and greater trust, respect, and connection. Personal and professional relationships are built on open and honest communication. Boundaries are how we communicate our expectations to others, what we want and need, how we want to be treated, and what actions we'll take if our expectations aren't met. If we don't communicate our expectations and needs, others won't know what we expect from them and what they can expect from us. Understanding each other's expectations decreases misunderstandings and arguments. For example, if I don't give my teenage son a curfew, but then get angry at him for coming home late, my son will be confused and upset because I didn't make my expectations clear. And he may find it hard to trust me because I didn't set clear boundaries. Setting a boundary, telling him that I expect him home at 11 p.m., is kinder. Even though he may not like the limit, he knows what's expected and that it's his responsibility to be home by 11 p.m. Clear boundaries, such as a curfew for a teenager, foster healthy accountability and minimize blaming, arguing, and misunderstandings. Setting boundaries also increases the chances that our needs and expectations will be met. Expecting our friends and family to read our minds and know what we want without telling them never works. We need to communicate. And while asking doesn't guarantee that we'll get what we want or need, we're much more likely to get it when we're clear and direct. And when our needs and expectations are met, relationships are easier and more fulfilling. Boundaries improve health. I consider boundaries a form of self-care because they protect us from physical and emotional harm, and they safeguard the time, energy, and money that we need to take care of ourselves. Boundaries are a way to protect yourself from physical harm, such as being hit. Boundaries can also protect you from the mental anguish of enduring another Christmas with your emotionally abusive family, or from working late with a coworker who makes unwanted sexual advances. By creating safety, boundaries protect us from stress-related health problems like high blood pressure, heart disease, headaches, and insomnia. Boundaries are also a self-management tool that help us prioritize healthy habits like getting enough sleep, not drinking too much, and ensuring we have time and energy to exercise. Without boundaries, we're likely to spend our time, energy, and money indiscriminately, and there might not be enough left for healthy activities, such as going to therapy or getting a flu shot. Boundaries improve self-esteem. Being able to assertively communicate your thoughts, feelings, and ideas, and asking for what you want or need is empowering. When you set boundaries, you'll feel more
Sample complete. Ready to continue?